Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world. Our radio audience and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective. We're going to be speaking today about the prophetic words that we're hearing right now since we last began to speak about some recent words. That God was speaking about 60 years, 60 years that had taken place, that it takes 60 years for those that are planning terrorist attacks and doing them. It takes 60 years to be able for them to be successful type thing. Mm-hmm. And so what did God mean by that when he told me that in a dream? What was happening? And I'm going to begin to reveal that and through... a young man named Isaiah. God speaks and confirms specifically about that, and hopefully we'll make that available too. We have an audio of him sharing what God said to him as well. And this is going to be rough. You got to pay attention. You know, it's amazing that people you can talk to folks and they look at you. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't have a clue what they're thinking, but they're not even listening to you, and they're just thinking, "Well, I'd rather have them talking at me than not talking to me at all," but they're not listening to what you're saying. They're not following you. They're not following God. But yet they just, no, tell me more, but they're not going to do what you're saying. And it's like, well, you know, it's not going to end well for you. Hmm. It's not going to end well for you because you're choosing your own direction. You know, you're choosing your own way when God is saying, this is the way it should go. And this is the wildest thing. Wild meaning in our own finite minds trying to really grasp things is God waits for people. Mm-hmm. He waits for people and depends on people to act right. And to do. Mm-hmm. And you think, do you really want to depend on human beings? I mean, think about Nineveh weighed in the balance. The Ninevites weighed in the balance on one man's struggle to obey God. Mm-hmm. One man. An entire city, a great city, the word of God said. Either it was bound for destruction, but that was not what God wanted for it. But that's what he intended for if they didn't change. Mm. And he already had a due date when that was going to happen. And there's this one man that struggled. Well, I don't know, and I don't like Ninevites. And besides, I don't feel like that's my call, and I don't like being told what to do, and, you know, all this whatever. Mm-hmm. But it depended on one man, Pat.
That's amazing.
One man had an attitude with God. He actually thought it was about him and it was about God. It wasn't about Nineveh and it wasn't about Jonah. It was about God. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you know, Jonah's going to start sharing his opinion. You know, well, I think. And God's going like, excuse me.
I didn't ask you to think.
Excuse me, Jonah. You know? And so, and he begins to explain how evil they are. And his concern was, because he knew how good God was, that God was going to forgive them, God was going to restore them, and God was going to bless them. And he wanted them wiped off the face of the map. And be careful when you hear these folks saying, do away with them, destroy them. It's like, you don't know God. God is quick to forgive, and you could be left behind in a fire of unforgiveness and resentment and bitterness and not end well in your life because you thought it was about you. I'm offended. Go study Nelson Mandela and get over it. Because if anybody should be offended, it should have been Nelson Mandela. And he walked out unoffended. He walked out with forgiveness. He walked out with mercy. And he united a nation. And the whole world is honoring him this week. So, you come on. Mm-hmm. So, all of the city weighed in the balance because of one man's struggle. Is he going to obey God or not? I mean, I'm sure he called it a righteous struggle because he talked about somebody else's sin. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Nineveh. Look at their sin. Look how bad they are. It's like, did I ask you your opinion, Jonah? And this is what God says. It's a powerful thing. You got to understand how good our God is. God loves you. If Jonah has had a conversation with you before he actually started doing what he's supposed to be doing, you probably didn't like it. But don't judge the future, your future in God, based off Jonah's first conversation with you. If you happen to be on the boat before he was in the well, don't listen to that. Redefine yourself based off what he's going to tell you later on. But this is what the creator of the universe said. He said this. He said, "Do you think I'm not concerned about such a great nation? They don't even know their left hand from their right." That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are getting all over these folks or this person, and they haven't had the upbringing that you've had. They don't know what you know. And you're judging them based off what you know. And the truth is, you don't know nothing if that's how you're acting. And you're saying that God doesn't love that person or love that city. And that's not true. He does. And he says, and so he was concerned about this city that was doing these evil things. He was concerned about it. He wanted to save the city. But one man's struggle with obedience, one man putting himself in the equation, one woman, one man going, "Well, I don't feel like it, and I don't want to, and I don't think this, and it's going to get in the way of my job. It's going to get in the way of my marriage. It's going to get in the way of my children. It's going to get in the way of my parents, what I want in life, my vacation, whatever." And it's like, man, that whole city is about to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
America right now is on the edge of ending as we know it. I mean, it's still going to be here. But as we know it, it's on the edge of ending. And we have so many individuals. I mean, it's repulsive to me. I mean, it's like, do you think, I'm so naive. I just was always naive. I mean, I was just naive. I can't believe it. It's like, haven't we been singing and preaching and reading the word together? It's like, don't you care?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, not really, you know. It's like, right? You don't. Oh my goodness, I thought you believed what you preached.
And
don't you love them folks you talked about? I love you. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Anyway, so they, in the context of that this one man, this whole city weighed in the balance. Right now, America weighs in the balance and is waiting for you, Jonah, you, Mr. Jonah, Mrs. Jonah, to stand up and do what God's called you to do. He told you what to do, and he's told you, and he's been patient with you. And you've gone through these experiences, you've gone through struggles, you keep running from what God's called you to do, and you're thinking about you and what you want, and you don't like those folks, and you don't want this to happen, and God's going, I don't care about you right now. I'm talking about the people that are about to be destroyed, because once to die, then the judgment. Understand, they need to be given a chance to repent. I'm not saying that they will, but at least preach the truth to them, Jonah. At least preach the truth to them. So Jonah, all of a sudden, America starts rocking and rolling like a ship on a rough ocean. All of a sudden, the very country that Jonah's in, the very ship that he's in, hits rough seas. And it starts going all over the place. And he knows. I mean, he knows. He's thinking the whole time, this is all happening because I didn't do what God said. You know, these guys are suffering. How many people are suffering, Jonah? Mrs. Jonah? Mr. Jonah? How many people are suffering? Do you even connect with the fact that people are suffering on the ship called America because you won't do what God told you to do?
Mm.
How many people are suffering? Do you understand that the boat in America is rocking because the church, the people God has called to bring the good news and the gospel and the love of God to this nation. I don't care if they don't know their right hand from their left. Understand, God loves Americans. God loves the people in this world. And imagine America being a ship and it's being tossed and turned, and they're saying, hey, print some more money. Let's just make new laws. Let's forget this. Let's do that. Maybe this will help. Maybe that'll help. And they're throwing all these things overboard, trying to save America. And you, Jonah, talk about your vacation. You, Jonah, talk about expanding your house and making it bigger. You, Jonah, want to be able to have your frills in life and your me time. Why, the whole ship's going down. And finally, when these guys are praying on this America, the ship called USS America, they said, Is it your God? Is he angry with us? And you know what Jonah's saying in America right now? Let me tell you what all the Jonahs are saying. The 50 Jonahs in 50 states, the 3,600 Jonahs in 3,600 counties are saying. They're going, yes, you're the reason why the boat's rocking. You're the reason why. It's your darkness. It's your sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jonah's saying right now in America. Yeah. No, that's not what Jonah said on this boat. This is what Jonah said. He said, the reason why your life is rocking is because of my rebellion to God.
Mm.
You see, God loves these people that I don't love. And he wants me to go tell them that. And he wants me to tell them what they're doing is wrong, but he'll forgive them and he'll restore them and he won't bring destruction on them. But I don't like them. I don't want them to be saved. And you're suffering right now in America because I won't go to them and tell them that he loves them and forgive them. And I don't think you'll hear Americans say this. So then he says, throw me overboard. Instead of throwing everything else, throwing the economy overboard, throwing our founding fathers overboard, throwing our Constitution overboard, throwing our Declaration of Independence overboard, throwing our school system overboard, throwing our legislature overboard, throwing our judicial branch overboard. Everything's being thrown over. And Jonah, you just keep blaming everybody instead of you because you won't go tell them. You're getting madder at them and more angry, and you got venom coming out of your mouth towards the Ninevites. And God's going, no, tell them. I love them. Tell them destruction is coming, but I love them and I don't want it to come. And if they will repent, I will turn and I'll bless them. Even Nineveh, I'll bless. And so Jonah says, throw me overboard. It'll stop all this. Throw me overboard. And so when they throw him overboard, America settles down. And so he thinks, well, this is it. And all of a sudden, the whale swallows Jonah. He's in the belly of the whale. When I get back, I want to talk to you about this is you, Jonah. Next time you get in front of a mirror today, look in your car mirror, look in any mirror, look in your phone mirror, and say, I am Jonah. We're talking about America, a ship under great turmoil. The ropes are cut. She's sinking. She's going through rough places. And Jonah is on board. There's got to be at least a Jonah in every state. Somebody that God said, go tell them. But you're bringing up, oh, you know, I got my job. I got my job. You know, my job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got my family. I got my comfort. And I got my convenience.
Yep.
And besides, they're Ninevites. And I don't like them. And I can't believe that you like them, God. Right? That's part of what Jonah was saying.
Yeah, exactly what he said.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Can religion be taught in a charter school curriculum? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My son goes to a charter school out here. I was wondering if the charter schools are held to the same curriculum as public schools or if they can diversify and go into a Christian aspect.
Well, charter schools are still public schools, so whatever curriculum they come up with, it has to be in the context of something that's not going to violate the Constitution. But there's nothing in the Constitution that prohibits a school from talking about religion, religious values, and the role that religion played in public life. Your call says, Chris, is, what's the role of religion in public schools? Can it be incorporated into curriculum? The answer is yes. Yes, but a charter school is still a public school, so it has to be within the guidelines, but there shouldn't be any problem there whatsoever.
The American Center for Law and Justice is here to defend our religious liberties. Learn more about the American Center for Law and Justice on our website at aclj.org. That's ACLJ.org.
If you're tired of religion, think about this. If you're tired of all these mechanisms and supporting these ziggurats and these all these things going on, if you're ready to get into the kingdom, you know, find someone who's hearing from God. Find a gathering that's hearing from God. Find an apostolic center. Find one of those hubs. Maybe the VFF Dream Center is for you. You know, we're located on the Gulf Coast in Pensacola, Florida, a very significant things that have happened since God told us to establish it here. But they're all around the place. North Carolina, you have Morning Star, you have Church of His Presence in Alabama with Pastor John Kilpatrick. Mm-hmm. You have IHOP Kansas City with Mike Bickle. You have Chuck Pierce, Zion Ministries in Corinth, Texas. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He got the good one. He got Texas, man. And so it's amazing what and so God is doing this all over the place, but you want to get into that place.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. And so what Jonah was doing, Jonah was prejudging the Ninevites. He put them in two categories, it looks like. One category was they don't deserve the blessing of God like Jonah does. Oh. Secondly, that they're not going to respond anyway. I mean, think they're this evil nation to the point that God was going to destroy, city. God was going to destroy the city because they were so evil and they were doing so many bad things. And you can only imagine, it's, you know, welcome to, you know, darkness. And so how many people look at people walking in darkness under dark oppression, dark environments and all, and they prejudge them. I'm not going to preach them the love of God because they're not going to respond. Mm-hmm. Who are you to withhold the love of God? Who are you to withhold the truth that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life? Jonah, who are you to be able to prejudge someone? It's not for you. You just tell them. And imagine, just like Jonah was on this ship, America is just rocking and rolling, 45-degree rolls, everything shaking and quaking, but you're like, where's Jonah? Hello? Are you anywhere to be found? Josiah, Jonah, where are you? Busy about my things. And so they throw him overboard. I mean, think about this. If you're not going to do something, Jonah, they might as well just chunk you in the Gulf or chunk you in the Atlantic, chunk you in the Pacific or in Lake Erie, whatever. I mean, come on. Maybe there's a well to bring you, you know, around to the right place. And so when they throw him overboard, he's willing to die instead of go to Nineveh. He's willing to die instead of go to Nineveh. And I got to be honest with you, and not in regards to people, but it gets to a time in your place, in your life, where you're just thinking, like, I've preached and I've taught, and it just seems to be unresponsive. And it's just like, you know, please, isn't there some other? You know, can you just, like Jerry Clower said when he was wrestling with some animal, I can't remember what kind of animal it was, and some guy said, he said, just shoot it, and he goes, I'm scared I might shoot you, and he goes, just shoot up amongst us, we need some relief in here,
right,
you know.
Right.
That Jonah was prejudging the Ninevites, that one is they didn't deserve God's blessing, secondly, is they're not going to repent. How could somebody so evil do what's right? Have you looked in the mirror lately? That's us. Mm-hmm. I mean, God's forgiven us, and he'll forgive us if we repent. We are them outside of him. That's who he saved us from. And so here he does. He goes to Nineveh. He goes to America. He goes to his county, his city, his state, his region. And he begins to tell them, listen, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. The direction that we're going is leaving God. We've got to turn back to God. We've got to turn back to God. He begins to preach preach what God is saying. This is not good. And it's bigger than he can cover in the time frame he needs to cover it. So God has a due date for their destruction. There's a due date for the destruction of Nineveh. And I feel like in my heart, for America as we know it, there's a due date for us to be transformed as we know it if we don't wake up. And this is what God did. God delayed the due date of the disaster that would destroy Nineveh to give Jonah time to make it to everyone. Mm-hmm. To give you time to pick up VFN radio and VFN TV in your city. To give you time to sponsor us to go into a new area to tell. Every single day, we're live. Every single day, talking every day about what God is saying. What are you doing? Giving you time to quit spending everything on yourself. And he delayed it. He gave him more time because he needed more time to physically go through this large city to tell everyone. And once he told everyone, that you can imagine Jonah's response would be, other than the responses he's seeing right away, he's like, well, okay, I finished my job. I'm out of here. But you know what? To his amazement, to his surprise, and God's knowing, because he knows all things, none of us leader, which would be the king, the evil king, right? Mm-hmm. All the way down to all of his folks, heard, God confirmed the word, their hearts were broken, they felt bad for what they've done, they fasted, they turned away from food, I mean, even their cows, they went and shoved muzzles over their cows so their cows couldn't eat. Listen, this is serious. Listen to God and the whole nation, the whole city turned. And God stopped the plans that was intended for it. But it took Jonah. It took the whinier Jonah to go do what God had told him or her to do. How many people today are in turmoil seas because you won't do what God's told you to do? I couldn't imagine facing God looking at Nineveh burning in hell because you judge them yourself. I think there's a special place for those folks who decide to send people to hell because they refuse to obey God. I mean, think about it. Yeah. That's a huge thing.
That's huge.
Somebody that Jesus died for, you judged and threw down the gavel for, and you didn't even care that they go to hell. You didn't even do what he told you to do. Thank God Jonah went. Jonah went, they repented, God relented, it changed, and when he was finished ministering there, he still had the same attitude because he's sitting outside the city and complaining about it's hot. Let me tell you something. It's time for us to lay down our life, pick up our cross, Jonah, and do what God has called us to do.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And it's like corrupt generation. And now it's getting more corrupt. I mean, it's like this momentum of corruptness is happening. I mean, the worldwide is getting very corrupt. And it's like, okay, now do you get it? We're corrupt. When the Lord had me go through this deep, deep lesson in history that I couldn't even take it no more. Because I kept taking me deeper and showing me men are evil outside of him. The deeper you go in the nature of men, you'll see that men have been evil outside of God. I mean, it's not going to get good. You're thinking like, where was the right policies? Where was the right law? Which was the right nation? Who was the right king? Who was the right leader? And it's like, it just gets nastier and nastier the more you go back in history. And it's just like, what? God said, me. That's why he came to save us from this corrupt generation. You're not going to change this America by policies. You're not going to change people by new laws or taking away laws or stimulus packages. You're going to be changed by the stimulus of the Holy Spirit's power that comes upon you when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And then whatever the world happens, happens, but you're going to be saved. You're going to have the power of God with you and the presence of God with you.
You've just been listening to a moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org. You know, Ben, I was just talking to my father, and he was, he and my has my sisters and I, we got them an iPad, and move them into the next level of technology,
right?
And my mother was Skyping now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she can Skype. she could Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom on, have to do a conference call or something, and bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to hear my mother. We just laugh and talk, and we've always had a great time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they're listening to VFN TV, mm-hmm. and the VFN radio program, watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program, mm-hmm. with their iPad.
Oh wow!
They have an iPad, uh-huh. and they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store, mm-hmm. and downloaded the application, because we have an application. We have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad. We have an app for your iPhone, and we have an app for your Android. Mm-hmm. You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV. There you go, is the app. Download it, and for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh, man, I missed that, you can go that. With the app, you could go back and look to the highlights of that day and possibly the app, that particular highlights right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and Daily VFN Radio program Facebook. You can get to our the VFN TV blog right off your application. It has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are you know, sowing into this ministry and giving, that you can even give right there on your application.
Oh.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey, Dad. And all the moms and dads out there, listen, you can get VFN TV, the daily radio program, right there on your phone or your iPad or your Android or Apple. Just go to your app store and download it today. But a conversation, you'll be surprised. You have to keep your brain active. And personally, you know, and this is how my brain works, and maybe if you're a different kind of design of a brain, you have to have complete silence so you can hear yourself talk to yourself. I don't need to talk to myself. And you have to hear yourself think. Yeah, look at that. His eyes roll up in his head. Gerbil. He goes, that's true. That's actually, I needed to hear myself think. They're the ones who go, shh, I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no noise.
All you do is snap your fingers and they're lost. Where am I? What happened? But to me, it just makes my brain just fire off everything. And I just love to hear good, you know, positive, you know, conversation. And there's nothing more positive than talking about the things of God and God's perspective behind the news and, you know, wisdom moments. Think about wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. You can go to college for, you know, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, and you can be knowledgeably ignorant. And it's a shocker, you know. Doctor, see right here, this is how you start your car. You know, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so much knowledge. It's like, but you got to have wisdom on how to apply that knowledge. And we hope, you know, in the conversations that we're having, we're sharing with you the wisdom that God has revealed to us. How do you live your day-to-day life? That's wisdom. How do I apply, you know, the Word of God to my life, the commandments of God and all that? And it's just, I love VFN Radio. You know,
yeah.
When I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an something or an something, and put it on your desk at work, and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world. You can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it,
mm-hmm.
don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch and you can hear the whole segment, And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices, and podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says, as a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee mm-hmm. while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really mean it. You know, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
The truth is, you can make anything a sin,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you can create this law on you that it takes power of you. And many people are struggling with appetites of all kinds because they created some law over them. And the law is the power of sin. The very mm-hmm. fact that you drew a line in the sand when you should have just fell at the blood of the cross and it said, dear God, help me. Because you drew the line, you spend your whole life on the wrong side of the line.
Mm-hmm.
Dragging your body back over, repenting, because you created a law. You created these laws. And believe me, it comes naturally to human nature. And the ones that really people really, really like are the ones that they can obey.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But the truth is, when you fall down at the foot of the cross and you realize that Jesus fulfilled the law and you put your total trust in the finished work of the cross of Christ, then the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, will empower you to say no to what you couldn't say no to before. He'll empower you to walk out of life in the light that you never thought possible before. This is what he says. Jesus says in John 15, he says, apart from doing this, you can do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to constantly fail. In the way that the mindsets that have been taught for so many years, you know, I'm a self-made man. I pull myself up by my own bootstraps.
Mm.
You know, and there is something to, you know, being steadfast, but we lay that all at the cross. I was thinking, Donna and I were talking about her horse that she had when she was young, and it's amazing. She was riding down a dirt road on her horse and with her cousin, and her the horse did something, I think probably stopped or something, and there's no seatbelts on a horse.
No.
And either way, they fell off the horse. And her little cousin, you know, ran home. And Donna was there up under the feet of the horse.
Oh, wow.
And the horse, you understand, like a 2,000-pound horse.
Mm.
And this horse was being so careful not to hurt her.
Wow.
But at the same time, trying to step around, as she describes it. And he did accidentally, unintentionally, you know, stepped somewhat on her leg,
mm-hmm.
but did it so, you know, I'm saying, he was so being so gentle. I mean, when you're a giant like that,
mm-hmm.
and you think about these 2,000 pound muscle who can pull, and I mean, we call cars horsepower because we define how fast a car goes by how many horses it would take to pull it that fast.
Mm.
And it allows us to get on its back, saddle it up, put a bit in its mouth. It allows you to do this if you take authority over it and you meek it, you train it, and build a relationship with it where it knows you and you know the horse,
mm-hmm.
then even though it's powerful, even though it can take you miles, even though it could crush you, even though it could just stop suddenly, throw you over its shoulder, and just begin to stomp you as it did Jezebel. We mm-hmm. know about that, right?
That's right.
That it will just carefully make sure you're all right. And as a giant, you got to be careful. I mean, you know how it is when you're walking around with big feet and all that. And I mean, you got to have mercy for those folks. They're doing their best, you know. And that's just such a great picture of what, you know, so many people think being humble in God means being weak. No, being humble, it means being like that horse. is that you have all your strength, but we submit it and build a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we allow him to direct us like a bit in a horse's mouth, like a rudder on a huge ship. We allow that to happen to us and walk in relationship with God. And what happens, we begin to do things we thought we could never do before. We don't give up our strength. We submit our strength to God. And he says, use it here and use it there and, you know, carry the gospel this far and do this and do that. And it's called meeking. And so we got to be real careful because we didn't become unstrong. We got to be careful that we use our strength and humility before God, listening to what he says. And the reason why he talks about it in James chapter 3 about the tongue is because that is our rudder. That is our bit. In the words of God, the Bible, the scripture that we talk about, you need to abide with God. You got to get full of the word of God because that's like water passing over the rudder of a ship. It'll come out of your heart and pass over your tongue and it'll direct the course of your life. Because the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. If you're just trying to just take a sip of the word of God every now and then, imagine just one drop of water hitting a rudder of a ship in the midst of an ocean, and you're complaining because nothing happens to your direction in life. Nothing happens to your direction in your marriage. Nothing happens to the direction in your business or in your country or nation or your ministry or church. But now imagine a heavy flow of water gushing from deep down a well that he talks about, the infilling of the Spirit of God and the Word of God and just rushing over your mouth. And all of a sudden, you take your tongue and you shape the words that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There is no other hope but him. You begin to bind devils and loose people and speak healing over people and preach the kingdom of God with the strength under the control of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today. You want to change your life? You're going to have to change your thoughts. And if you want to change your thoughts, you're going to have to change what you're seeing and what you're hearing. You got to spend time with the one who will empower you. It's a grace. It's the power of God unto salvation. I'm telling you, if you try to logically figure this out, you're just going to bog down in your own pride and mire and stuff. But if you just go, I trust God, I'm just going to hang out with God. And as I behold him, I'm going to be transformed into his image and his likeness. And I'm going to be like this 2,000-pound horse. And though I could stomp or slam on brakes or whatever, and I could stomp, I'm going to carefully be careful how I use what God has given me to build up and not to tear down. I'm going to allow his word, his law, to be in my heart, not my own law. The freedom that he's given me. The blessing that he's given me to be able to enjoy, but also let other people enter into the blessing. I want to encourage you today. If you want to change the direction of your life, it's real simple. Like that horse, maybe you've been running around like a wild stallion. You love it. You bounce. You run through the fields. You got your buddies you run through the fields with, or your girls you go to the fields with. And you just, you know, but you know what? You're no good but for that. That's all you can do. But when you allow yourself to be meeked by the trainer, when you allow yourself to be meeked, by, trained by God, trained by the Spirit of God, then all of a sudden you're no longer this wild stallion that people can only observe but you can't get close to because you're going to hurt somebody. All of a sudden they start, look at that horse. Look at that Tennessee Walker. Look at that quarter horse. Look at that man. Look at that woman. Look at that strength under control. Look how they make that jump. Look how they pull that plow. Look how they walk in procession. Look how they pull that carriage. Whatever. I mean, the comparisons go back and forth. People are amazed. The natural tendency of human beings is to look at strength under control, submitted to God, and they stand in amazement. Stand in amazement. Why don't you begin to amaze people today and say, you know, Lord Jesus, I want to make you the Lord of my life. I want to quit letting just anything run over my rudder and complain about where my ship ends up. I want your word to come out of my mouth. I want to be full of the word of God. I want to be trained by the Holy Spirit. I want to hang out with you. I want to abide with you. If that's you today, man, go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. If you don't know him yet, if you know of him, go to meetmyfather.org. We can share a couple of our stories and make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. It's going to be the most awesome thing you have ever done.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
I mean, can you imagine being on a football field, Pat?
Yeah. Not now. I could.
In his glory days.
Way, way, way back then.
Really?
Yeah.
He can imagine.
I can imagine.
He can imagine.
Thing. He got that PS2 thing, you know. He thinks he's played football now.
He didn't actually play. You said imagine.
We got to find that rag head. You had the look. You had,
oh, it's on the torch.
I've got it.
It's on the torch.
Okay, good. We'll bring that up.
Yes.
Was he holding the ball or was he on the bench? I can't remember what that picture was.
He was holding the water.
The offense was on the field.
But he looked so footballish. He looked so footballish sitting on the bench.
I was resting.
Is that what they call those guys at Portland?
It took me a while to realize. Wait a minute. He's not on the field. He said he's on the bench. But he sure looked like a football player.
He had it going on.
No, getting back
to it.
There was a day. But, you know, imagine being on a football field. You've never played it before. And you would be me. No. And but the other teams played football before. And they're playing the game. They know the rules. They know all these things going on. So you're walking around on this. What a nice lawn. I don't know why they put white lines on the lawn down here.
All right.
Oh, my goodness, they're coming after me. Oh, whew, they just ran around me. It's totally fine. And you don't realize all of a sudden they get to one part of that yard, you know, that has some weird metal devices at the end of it that they dance around. But they start dancing and do weird dances, and people start cheering. I mean, how foolish does that look? I mean, it would look, I guess, sort of like the Saints in their past, you know, walking around on the field thinking, what's this, football going on?
Yeah, pretty much.
Is football going on? Or the Detroit Lions. And yes, that's not a croquet team.
Or the Mets.
Hey.
Anyway, so getting back to real sports. Really, just because you need to really get that paradigm to understand what I'm going to be talking about. And at some point, somebody would say, you know, get off the field.
Yeah.
Or learn how to play the game. Or at some point, like the Saints, they just said, hey, we ought to read the rule book. Maybe we can win this thing. And it was amazing. They read the book, and next thing you know, they prayed, and the Lord answered.
Yeah, Drew Brees
came in.
That's right. They prayed
Sean
hard.
Payton and something about breaking knees. I don't know.
Anyway,
Allegedly. And that's something.
Amazing.
Yeah. He don't use that when it comes to Muslim Brotherhood, but it comes to the Saints. It's allegedly. That is amazing.
Wow.
Allegedly, he doesn't.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I want to talk about rehoming orphan children that's taking place right now. This tragedy of where parents who adopt children are deciding they don't want it anymore. They found out, you know, especially parenting someone else's child who didn't have the foundational years right. Or how the gestation period of that child in the womb, where the mother didn't even think about, obviously the whole root of this whole thing is all about me.
Right.
Is that I couldn't stop the destructive behavior while I had a child inside of me, which caused brain damage or, you know, whatever type of situation, damage to the child. Mm-hmm. And they are adopting these children, and CBN News is reporting about this. And we want to hear this because the question we want to ask ourselves is how come parents, and we're going to talk about this today, how come parents are not wanting their children and children are not wanting their parents? And how come the government's supporting this? And how come they're wanting to take over parenting roles? I mean, what's happening? Why wasn't and why hasn't, why has family, marriage and children and parents become a foreign terminology in regards to God's people?
Yeah.
And listen up. When I hear this, we're going to continue this conversation.
A recent investigation into international adoptions came up with a disturbing report. A growing number of parents are using the internet to get rid of children adopted from abroad. And as Charlene Israel reports, not only is that a double tragedy for these children, it can also be downright dangerous.
Evan Jones enjoys spending time with his family, but life hasn't always been carefree for the Ukrainian teenager. His mother died when he was 8. Then Evan and his sister went to live with his grandmother. But when she could no longer care for them, they were placed in an orphanage. He left the institution when a U.S. couple who had hosted him one Christmas decided to adopt him.
It was really amazing when I actually got a family because, I mean, I realized that God answered my prayer. And I had a little brother and a sister and another brother. So it was like a complete family like I imagined.
Evan moved with his new family to Charlotte, North Carolina. But it wasn't the happy ending of his dreams. His parents quickly learned they weren't fully prepared to take care of Evan, and they searched for a new family to take him in. Evan's story is not unique.
An 18-month investigation by Reuters uncovered parents using internet message boards to advertise unwanted adopted children. It's a practice known as rehoming.
Most of the online posts featured children 6 to 14, who had been adopted from countries such as China, Russia, Ethiopia, and Ukraine. The report found these transactions taking place on 8 Yahoo message boards and a Facebook group. One from a mother who adopted a Guatemalan 11-year-old reads, "I am totally ashamed to say it, but we do truly hate this boy." Adoption experts blame part of the problem on lack of government oversight and little international monitoring. Some of the children ended up in unsafe situations.
Children were placed with pedophiles and with people who had psychiatric problems and violent tendencies.
A Liberian teen says her adoptive parents gave her away when she was 13. She says her new guardians told her to sleep in the same bed with them and that the new mom slept without clothing. A girl adopted from Russia was sent to 3 different homes in the U.S. over a 6-month period. Chuck Johnson of the National Council for Adoption says that while the majority of adoptions work out well, he calls the ones uncovered in the news investigation troubling.
It's a double tragedy because when you consider the circumstances the child endured.
He urges families considering adoption to do their research, especially in international arrangements. That includes their adoption agency and prospective child's background. Families should also be prepared to deal with the emotional scars suffered by many orphans.
That's something that every family has to enter into this arrangement, realizing that it's very likely that the child that they adopt will have some special needs.
Last December, Russia banned U.S. adoptions of its children after an American woman put her 7-year-old adopted son on a plane back to Russia all by himself. The mother claimed the boy was violent and had severe psychological problems. Adoption experts say in many cases, overwhelmed parents don't know there is help. For those who choose to relinquish their parental rights, there is a safe legal way to do so through adoption dissolution.
It'll be done under the auspices of professional care with social workers and counselors and courts, all making sure that the children's best interests are paramount in wherever they go.
Evan is reaping the benefits of such an arrangement. David and Julie Jones heard about his need for a new home through an international adoption support group.
We had a loving family who's saying, we can't do this, we need help.
The Joneses and their teenage son built a bond with Evan that grew stronger over time.
I really liked them, and over time, I began to call him Mom and Dad.
The Joneses eventually adopted Evan.
We did all this with the consent of the other parents and with, lawyers in both states. You know, we covered our bases every way that we knew that we should.
He says he has no hard feelings toward his previous family. While the family didn't want to do an on-camera interview, they gave us this statement. Evan is and always will be a member of our extended family. In fact, we consider the entire Jones family to be a part of our extended family. Our children think of Evan as a cousin of sorts now, and we hope that we will always have a relationship with Evan. Meanwhile, the Joneses admit taking Evan in has its challenges, but they are committed.
We will not tell you that we have not raised our voices in our home, because we have. But once we have been able to, with God's help, say, okay, God, what is it in me that is pushing that button, and God reveals it and we can repent or be healed ourselves, then when the child gets angry and we don't get angry, that's when the healing begins.
And that makes Evan even more grateful.
There's been really bad moments, but they've still kept me and loved me and cared for me. And I mean, after those things are over, they would treat me the same way they treated me before.
Charlene Israel, CBN News.
So important, such a timely beginning of a conversation that we're going to have today. Why we have adults right now that would give their right arm to be able to have a child, and we have other parents who would give their right arm not to have a child, even to the point of murdering their child, but it's not willing to live with giving their child to this person who would give their right arm for the child. Because why? Because it was conceived because of self. And now that you conceive me, you're keeping me under this unloving relationship, oppressing me.
Wow.
Because you don't want me. But you don't want yourself to look bad because you gave me up. And it's like, I came into the world because of you, and now I'm under your oppression. Listen, we're going to continue this conversation. Why do parents not want children, and children don't want parents? And why is the government facilitating this? We've got to ask these real questions. If we've murdered 55 plus million children in the womb, we're rehoming children that had this fantasy about adopting them. The government's infiltrating the family. We're coming against homeschoolers. We're exporting parents who tried to homeschool their children and tried to get exile in America and say, we don't want that here. It's like we have core, common core taking place. It's like, you know, it takes a village to raise a kid. What is going on?
Wow.
What is happening in the context of this? We're going to continue this conversation. Well, we're talking about we just heard rehoming children, rehoming orphan children. If you missed it, we heard it in an earlier program. We have four programs back to back every day. And understand that that's a major thing. And I can, if you never parented before, step aside.
Right.
If you had a child and you got rid of the child through abortion or any other way, step aside. I'm talking to parents who actually have done this thing. And we're having a conversation now. You know this is a very difficult thing. You know that the government does not support you in the context of your role as a parent. They blame you, but they don't support you and what you have to do to be able to raise a child. And they accuse you. And it's been happening, I guess, since the 50s or 60s or something. It has to do with all those things that broke loose around that time. And it's like, let's go figure out why your parents are your fault. But yet why they put you in jail, by the way, for your crimes. Like, well, how come you didn't put your mama in jail? Because they're just lying to you.
Right.
You're your own fault. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from recs to specs. You want to visit them today. They're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guy today so you can see. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Amazing Automotive, serving all of your automotive needs for over 30 years. Where their motto is, if it flies, floats, or rolls, we can work on it. On the corner of Hollywood and Marietta Boulevard. Come, bring your vehicle in today. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com, or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. These are going to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook, and it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFNTV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that's being filled all around the world, and now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you, and if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to Facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So mm-hmm. You can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook, or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV.